How are you?
Oh, doing well, boys. And I'll give you an update. My shirt is on. It is a great day here in Cleveland as well.
Oh, in Cleveland.
Covering
the Browns.
That's right. Down here for the Browns home opener. So doing the TSN 4 Down show live tomorrow from the ESPN Cleveland radio studio. So our friends there hooked us all up. So, yeah, pretty excited.
Now, why Cleveland?
Oh, well, you know, I get that question a lot, and it's inherited. So my dad was a Browns fan. His dad was a Browns fan. That was back when they were good. You had Paul Brown, you had Jim Brown, and I get Johnny Manziel. So, you know, that's my fate, and I hope one day I'll get to experience some of the same joy.
Okay, so I didn't know it. So you're a Browns fan, and that's why you head down to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. Now, let's start around the NFL. Now, lots of reports. I think it was Vic Carucci who tweeted out that there was really no love loss, per se, between Rex Ryan and his former offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who, according to Carucci privately, was not the biggest fan of Ryan. So maybe this is something that doesn't have to do necessarily with play calling, just two guys who don't get along. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I think it has to do with this. So the Bills put up 31 points last night, lost 37-31. Now, at first glance, you'd think, well, the offense had a good day. Maybe you blame the defense. Unfortunately for Greg Roman, the defensive coordinator is Rex's brother. So, you know, he's not going anywhere. And I think for Rex, just the sound of his voice after the game yesterday, there was no bravado. He wasn't cocky. He wasn't outlandish. It was, oh, yeah, the Jets had a good game. They beat us. It was very sullen. It wasn't Rex Ryan. So I think he knows he's on the hot seat, and that seat is getting ever hotter. So what happens? Well, you try to find a scapegoat, at least even for the short term. And in this case, he's been pointing it at Greg Roman, whether it's for that game or just to try to shake things up a little bit.
We're joined by Andy McNamara, taking a look at week two in the NFL. Mark Majot, Jason Greger with you. Well, Andy, what's next for Rex Ryan? Will he get through the season? Will he be a head coach in the NFL again?
I'm never a fan in the NFL specifically for firing a coach midseason. Never works. Never works. It's, you're paying Rex Ryan a lot of money. No matter how this year goes, if it goes terribly, firing Rex Ryan is not going to turn it around. You might as well let him finish the year, get whatever value you can out of him for the season, and then move on. I'm thinking, guys, if he's not at least 8-8 and showing some progress at the end of the year, he's going to go. And as far as being a head coach after that, I think he would have to go back to the drawing board to be a defensive coordinator first. Can he be a head coach again? I think maybe down the road, but he's going to have to go back and prove himself as a DC, first of all, because I just don't see any team that would say, hey, after how things ended in New York and then the lackluster performance so far in Buffalo, why up to hire Rex Ryan? I wouldn't do it.
Andy, how much of that game last night was the Bills playing poorly, but how much of that was the New York Jets drawing up a pretty good scheme, a place and a coach that they've really struggled against in the last couple seasons?
Yeah, and you know what? The Jets have been underrated the last 2 years. I think we're just used to thinking that the Jets are a bunch of misfits and a calamity, and you just, oh, yeah, here are the Jets, here we go again. But their defense, really good defense. You add Matt Forte to that backfield. What a nice upgrade over Chris Ivory, who had a very good season a year ago. But Matt Forte, coming out of Chicago as a free agent, catch the ball out of the backfield, can run it between the tackles. And we see a true three-down back, which is so rare in today's NFL. So what does that mean? It means that Ryan Fitzpatrick has a check down option. And it's not just a check down guy to try to get back to the line of scrimmage. It's a check down guy that can make a lot of plays. And by the way, then you have Brandon Marshall and Aaron Decker who can stretch the field a little bit too with bigger bodies. So the Ryan Fitzpatrick holdout, I always thought was ridiculous, and that the two teams should just figure it out, because he gives the Jets the best option this year to try to make a push for a wild card spot. And I really think that they are underrated, and as poorly as Buffalo played at times yesterday, I think you have to give credit to the Jets.
Andy McNamara joins us from TSN 4 Downs. You can watch it live tomorrow from Cleveland. So you should get LeBron on the show or something. That would be a lot of fun. He's a pretty hot topic.
You know, I tried. He's a little busy. The show goes 11 to 12. He would have been available 12:30.
Oh, jeez. What a selfish jerk. I can't believe
I know.
He would do
what
that.
What a guy.
Now, looking at, you know, when we talk about Forte and you know, a three down back, it's very rare. There's a lot of people that wonder with his age, can he handle all those snaps all season long? What do you think?
Oh, and that's the question, right? Now, we're seeing early on to success 33-year-old D'Angelo Williams out of Pittsburgh. Wow, what an animal he was. But that's really the question mark around guys like Forte. We saw it with Johnson last year with the CJ2K out of Arizona. Had a nice resurgence and advanced age for half the year, then fell off. So as the year goes on, I think the Jets are going to have to manage Forte, maybe give him little breathers here and there, because you want him down the stretch. You really want him clicking when it comes to that playoff push time. And at that age, now, he has been pretty durable throughout his career. But as we know, as soon as you hit 30, and typically for running backs, even in today's NFL, 28 is when the clock hits midnight for most of them, and they start going downhill. Forte's been one of the exceptions there. So I believe you manage his snaps early on to hopefully get better production and consistent production when it comes time to that wild card.
Andy, what is your Hail Mary start of the week?
Yeah, so I'm thinking for fantasy football guys this week, okay? So you're looking to fill out a WR3 slot or a flex position, get Terrell Williams, T-Y-R-E-L-L, okay? Spell it. Get him. San Diego Chargers wide receiver. On Wednesday, this is how much his stock has skyrocketed. On Wednesday of this week, he was owned on an average of 5% of ESPN Fantasy Football League. By today, he was up to 45%. The reason he's gone up so high is because Keenan Allen had that ACL injury last week. Phillip Rivers has to throw to somebody. The issue is the other options for the Chargers. You have Travis Benjamin, who's very slight. He's a home run threat. He's quick, but he's not a number one receiver. He's just not. Now you have Terrell Williams, 6'4", 207 pounds, real good hands, and he is poised to step up and take those snaps and those catches that were intended for Keenan Allen. Phil Rivers said as much in a press conference this week that he expects a lot out of Williams, and I think he's going to get it. So if he is available in your league, gobble him up and keep him, because Williams is going to be a breakout star.
A lot of people are thinking Inman, the former CFLer, might be someone to look for in San Diego as well.
Sure, sure. And you know what? Inman and Benjamin, I think, are going to offset each other a little bit, just because I really like the size of Williams more. Now, hey, if Williams is taken and you're going to have an option and you need a bit of a flyer or a flex guy for this week, it's a nice matchup against Jacksonville, whose defense has improved overall, but mainly in the front seven. So for those burners and sneezers that can get in behind the linebackers, that's where you're going to be able to get value, where someone like Inman, Benjamin, and Williams are really going to help out. So, hey, yeah, you know what? You have bigger problems in life if you get Inman. He's going to be okay, too.
Now, you're in Cleveland, and I'm sure you watch that team closely. He had 7 targets last week, only 3 catches, but quarterback-turned-receiver Terrell Pryor. What do you think of him as a player and potentially as somebody who could be kind of a sleeper later on down the season as a receiver in fantasy?
Yeah, Terrell Pryor. This guy has been a workhorse. And we think of so often, all right, quarterbacks or people trying to change positions in the NFL typically does not work. Now, the difference with Terrell Pryor is that in this offseason, he sent Coach Hugh Jackson, new Coach Hugh Jackson of the Browns, taped every single day, video of him working out, getting critiques. This guy is taking it seriously. He is a mismatch nightmare. 6'5", 200-plus pounds, just a big body. We remember how big he was as a quarterback. So he adds that little extra value that he can do sweeps. He's fast. He's been working on his technique. Now, is he going to be a true number one receiver this year? I don't think so, but we've seen he can be a home run threat. He can go down, stretch the field, but also on the goal line and those fade routes in the corner of the end zone. Who's going to beat Terrell Pryor for a jump ball? A 5'10" corner? I don't think so. He's going to be an absolute monster down there. So I believe with Josh McCown, a little more stable of a force at quarterback with RG3 going down, as long as him and Pryor can create some chemistry, that's going to be a potentially huge pickup. I just wouldn't want to push him too highly yet as a wide receiver 1 or even 2 at this point.
And lastly, any defenses that you like with matchups this week in fantasy?
You know what? I have to go with, I think if Baltimore is available, as much as I love my Browns, and I think Josh McCown is going to have some success, the Baltimore defense is improved. The pass rush is back. Suggs is feeling pretty good. You have Weddle in the secondary. That's going to be a good spot there. So I would say if you can get the Ravens, that's a pretty safe bet. teams I would stay away from defense would be the Chargers and the Jaguars. I just think those two teams have too many holes and are going to offset each other. I know sometimes if you see one weak opponent, people kind of lunge for the other guy no matter what, but Chargers and Jacksonville, stay clear.
Andy, we really appreciate it. Enjoy Cleveland, and hopefully for your sake, the Browns get a victory on Sunday.
I hope so. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Andy McNamara from TSN 4 Downs taking a show on the road. He'll be live tomorrow from Cleveland.